For us, we can fall into our unholy ways through unwatchfulness, through sinfulness. All these things that we were like before we were saved can happen to us when we're saved. If you are worried about finances, if you are focused on money, if you are worried about the stuff of this world, then you're not going to hear the Word of God.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we begin today's broadcast, can you tell us why you chose to look at the parable of the sower in preparation for our study in Nehemiah chapter 8?
Absolutely, Dave. You know, the parable of the sower actually shows us differing responses to the Word of God, and it's something I wanted us to see in light of what we're going to go through in Nehemiah chapter 8. So turn with us to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 18 through 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He only received it for the occasion. He didn't receive it for his life, for his eternal salvation. He received it for the occasion. There's a lot of people like that. Hey, you know, their lives are messed up, and everyone says Jesus will fix your life, and they go, okay, that's what I want. And they hear it, and they say, oh, yes, I confess my sins, whatever they want, they say that. But it is not because they need to be eternally saved, as we're going to see. And they rejoice. They rejoice in it. But they don't have a genuine faith. You see, they believe, but they don't believe. You say, how can you say that? Well, they come to an external acceptance of the facts of the gospel, and they even rejoice over it immediately, for the moment. But the ground of their heart, because they have not repented, is shallow, and they don't understand because they're not willing ultimately to obey. And that's shown when the trouble comes, because when trouble comes, our response is to be obedience. Their response is, I'm out of here. Forget it, right? Remember what Jesus said? He said, basically in chapter 7 of John, that those who want to do his will or obey, they're going to hear the word. They're going to hear it. So here we have this one who hears it, rejoices, has a faith like we see in James. A faith that doesn't work. A faith that is not a saving faith. It ascends to the truth of the gospel, would repeat it back to you that way. But it has not penetrated the heart because it is only for the occasion. It is surface. And then you see what happens when the difficulties come, when the troubles come for the word, by the way, they immediately, as we see, fall away because it was only temporary or for the occasion only. I like that translation. That is much more helpful to me here. It is for the occasion only. Has no root in himself. And so it's not a genuine saving faith. And we know that because if we keep reading, when affliction or persecution arises, this is the end of the verse here, because of the word, immediately he falls away. It's a temporary bogus faith for the occasion. It works for the occasion. Hey, it works pretty good. I like this, Jesus. Working good for me. Oh, but then when there's a call to actually obey and it becomes difficult, it's not rooted in a real faith. And it just goes right away. We see that, and it falls away. The word here, fall away, is from the Greek word skandalon. This referred to a stick which was put on a bait trap, which was placed, and someone would come by, and that trap would impede them. It's something that traps them and impedes them and stumbles them. Immediately, they stumble. Now, it's interesting, Luke gives us some insight into here why they translate it fall away here in Matthew. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 13. And those on rocky soil are those, when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root, they believe for a while. Okay, it works to believe. The faith in Jesus is a working thing for the occasion. And in time of temptation, fall away. The term here, fall away, is aphistemi, which is very close to where we get our word apostasy from. It means basically to turn away from Christ, to turn away from him. When one apostatizes, it is an evidence they never truly came to faith. They had an external faith or something that looked as though it was faith, but they turn away. It's apostasy. And so here, this is the danger. This is the danger of a Jesus for this world only. And Paul told us that Jesus is for this life only. We are of all men to be pitied. And so we have a gospel out there that feeds into this, but this is speaking of a genuine gospel, but someone who is hearing it and applies it only so deep as though it will just work for them for the occasion. That's really what it's about. And they're going to fall away, and we see that. And it's interesting because we're going to see the first outright guy rejects, right? The first soil. The second to appear to be saved, one will fall away. One will stay in, as we'll see in a moment, even though they're not saved. So then we have apostasy. We have accounts of apostasy in Scripture. We have it in Hebrews chapter 6. We have it. And I don't have time to read these passages. You can go there. In 1 John, it talks about they were of us, but they're really not of us because they left us. You know, you can tell. That's how you know they're not of us. They apostatized. So then if you are like this, if you have an external, superficial faith, you've rejoiced, but your heart has not been changed. You have not humbled yourself and truly acknowledged your sin and your need for an eternal Savior, a Savior that saves you from eternal damnation, not just for now. You are in terrible danger. Pray that God would be merciful upon you before you apostatize, because there's Hebrews 6, there's no turning back. There's no turning back. When you leave Jesus, the only way to be saved, and I'm not saying you came to him, but you know about him, you leave that, there is no other way to be saved. It's very, very serious. So I beg you on behalf of Christ, let him break up the stony ground. Let him clear that out. Humble yourself and confess your sin. Confess your sin. You see, repentance clears the way for the gospel. It clears the way for you recognize you're sinful, but that doesn't save you. You need a Savior from your sin. So then we see that there are those that have a hardened heart, which reject the word immediately. There are those who receive it superficially and joyfully, but fall away immediately when things become difficult, temptation, trials for Jesus. And then notice we have the third, and I think the most dangerous of all here. Look back in verse 7 for the actual parable, and then we'll move up to the explanation. And others fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. Simple analogy. Seed fell upon thorns, and the thorns choked out the seed, choked it out. Simple analogy. And then look at what Jesus says, and notice what he says here in verse 22. And the one from whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. Now, this is about salvation. Remember that. This is about salvation. Okay? Chokes the word. And notice what it says. And it becomes unfruitful. Or literally, this phrase, it is continually, habitually unfruitful. As if it never had fruit and it doesn't have any and it still won't have any. Continually, habitually unfruitful. Some say this is a believer. I disagree. I think the NASB doesn't do a good translation here. It's continually without fruit. And there's so many passages that speak of the reality of there needs to be fruit if you've truly been saved. We'll look at those in a moment. So he says here, and notice the one that does bring forth fruit. Look down a little farther at verse 23. And the one whom seed is sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. We're going to see that those who have a faith that is like this here, that is choked out, it's in the thorns, it's a faith that is really cultivated in the context of the things of the world. And they think they're saved, as we're going to see. But we're going to see that chokes it out, and they're not saved, and they never produce any fruit. We see the reality of fruit bearing all throughout Scripture, and I'm going to share a few passages here so we can look at this. But back in Matthew chapter 3, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 3, and we have the condemnation of the Pharisees who should be bearing fruit, but they're not. Verse 7, Matthew 3, but when many of the Pharisees and Sadducees were coming for baptism, he, that's John the Baptist, said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to take these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the tree, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." He's like, you better bear some fruit. You know, he's saying, bear fruit. You know, there's not a change. How about Luke chapter 6? This is important. Now, we're not the fruit inspectors of everyone around us, right? And we got to be careful. You know, we're not to do that. But we should have concern for people that we might see that look like this, right? And we might pray for opportunities to share the gospel or share these passages. If we know of someone who is just consumed with the worries of the world and the riches of the world and never has ever borne any fruit, ever. Okay? But here, Luke chapter 6, 43. "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit." I remember a pastor sharing this with Hillary and I, a Chinese pastor, and it's just so clear. This is what God says. This is what Jesus says. It's just reality. And he says here, "For the tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks that which fills the heart. And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" You don't obey me, say. "Everyone who comes to me hears my words and acts upon them. I will show you what he is like." And he gives the same illustration we saw and read in Matthew earlier. The Apostle Paul would talk about fruit in Acts chapter 26 before Agrippa. You can turn, if you like, Acts 26, verse 19. He says, "Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision." That's speaking of when Jesus saved him on the road to Damascus. He says, "But I kept declaring to those both in Damascus first and Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance." Or literally not performing, but continually, habitually doing. There's going to be a change in your life if you have truly come to Jesus Christ. A good tree does not produce bad fruit. A bad tree does not produce good fruit. We know from 1 John 2, I'll read this for you. It says, "By this we know we've come to know him," know Jesus, "if we keep his commandments." That's his commands. "The one who says, 'I've come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments, it's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, the love of God has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him." You see, you can know you've been saved if God has enabled you to obey him. And you're able to obey him. Not perfectly. We all fail. If we say we have no sin, we are liars. But we are those who confess our sin, and we have an advocate at the right hand, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And James chapter 2, very familiar passage, verse 14. "What use is it, my brethren, if one says he has faith but no works? Can that faith save him?" If Christ isn't working out in your life a love for him in obedience and a love for his people, maybe you don't know him. So back to our passage in Matthew 13, verse 20. "And the one whom seed fell among thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes," or it is continually unfruitful. That's a better translation. He hears the word. This word choke means to strangle. It's also translated drown. You know, when you drown, you are choked out of air. It is completely, it is not a little bit, it is completely. It's not like you're being choked, it is choking it out completely. These things choke out the truth of the gospel, and the two things he talks about here are worldliness and a divided heart. The worry of the world. The worry of the world. Just worrying about the things of the world. The things of the world, that's food and shelter and things like that, just the worries of the world. And the deceitfulness of riches, focus on cash and money and the security that money brings or whatever it might be. Those are things, when you come to Jesus Christ, they need to be shed. And if they're not shed, if you're not trusting him completely and you are still relying and looking at things from a worldly point of view and still looking for finances to supply, it chokes it out. But the scary thing is this person appears to continue on as a said believer, but they're unfruitful. So they live a life having acknowledged the truth of God in terms of Jesus Christ, and they live a life with the worries of the world primary and the deceitfulness of riches primary in their hearts. And it is choked out. They're unfruitful because they never actually were saved. A good tree does not produce bad fruit. A bad tree does not produce good fruit. You'll know a tree by its fruit. Now for us, we can fall into our unholy ways through unwatchfulness, through sinfulness. All these things that we were like before we were saved can happen to us when we're saved. If you are worried about finances, if you are focused on money, if you are worried about the stuff of this world, then you're not going to hear the word of God. It's going to choke it out. You're going to come to church wondering, why am I not changing? Because you got this stuff in the way. Now, that's if you're a believer. Now, non-believers, they're not saved because that is primary, right, in that context. But we can fall back into it. When we got saved, we didn't worry about finances. We didn't worry about anything. We were thankful Jesus saved us from our sins. But we can start to bring these things back in. And if you do that, you're not going to hear the word of God. Confess it. Get it out of your life. Don't focus on it. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Some even desiring for it have had many a pain. They pierced themselves. And some fallen away from the faith in a sense. They've turned away, right? We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and then in chapter 6. So then, we have this so-called believer who is deceived by the deceitfulness of riches, who is encompassed with the cares of this world. Who do you think is the best example in Scripture of this? It's Judas. Standing right there, listening to Jesus at this time. His name is Judas, and he is like the one with rocky soil. And having fallen away, he betrayed Jesus, right? But yet he also typifies this soil too. He loved money. He loved money. And he hung out with Jesus for 3 years, but the word didn't affect him at all. It didn't change him at all. He didn't come to a saving understanding of the truth because he loved money. There was never any genuine fruit in Judas's life. He was with Jesus for 3 years. The reality is we can be hearing the word of God for years. And if your heart is hardened and it is not open to the sword of God's word thrusting through to change you, then something is very, very wrong. I hate to think of it that some here may have hard hearts that are corrupted with worldliness and money. You can't love God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You see, when you come to Christ, he's going to take care of everything. He's going to take care of you. But these are an evidence of something very wrong. You see, if you're willing, you can ask Jesus to break up the soil of your heart. Lord, I am a lover of money. I'm a worrier extraordinaire. Lord, please break my heart. Help me see my sin. Save me, Lord Jesus. He's the only one who can do it, and he will. It's not impossible with God. But you need to be willing. You need to be willing to be changed. So we've seen three types of soil. Those who are unrepentant, hardened. And we've seen the type of soil that is on the surface, but yet when difficulties come, apostatize. We've seen the type that has got thorns choking out the word, right? And it is unfruitful. And lastly, we have the good soil. Verse 8 is the portion from the parable, and then we'll come to the explanation. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. It's just a farming illustration. The seed went in the good soil, and it produced fruit. It produced a crop. Then look at the explanation, verse 23. And the one whom seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it. We're going to see there's some pretty good soil with these Israelites back in Nehemiah, but it took a long time. They had a lot of problems and a lot of sin, and they were now receptive to the word of God. And they were responding, as we're going to see, and they were understanding it, and they were being changed, and they were repenting, and they were broken over their sin. And we're going to see that. And that's what has to happen with us for God to rebuild us. So here, and the one whom seed is sown in good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. There's differing levels of fruit, but there's fruit. this truth, the character of Christ coming through in a believer who's trusting in Jesus. If you've got some problems, you've got some sin, confess it. You know, if you're hardened towards any truth in the Word, whatever it is, confess it. Because you won't hear and you won't really understand unless your heart is right and the soil is prepared. Now, certainly this passage is about salvation, and I've mentioned that many times because that's the primary application. And it's my prayer that anyone who is listening, who sees and has been identified and has been convicted, that they would turn to Christ and pray for mercy and ask Him to save them, and He will. But then secondarily, for us, in applying to what I've been talking about, we are hardened with sin. We're not willing to let go of sin. You're not going to hear. Come to church all day long, you're not going to hear it. You may hear it, but you're not going to understand it in the way you should. Let's give some examples. Let's say you're a wife and you don't want to submit. You're a husband. You're not loving, living in an understanding way. You've got sin in your life that you're hardened to. You're actually hardened to it. You've got anger towards somebody, and you're not willing to give it up. Whatever it is, you're not going to hear the Word, no matter how much. It's not going to penetrate your heart. We need to have an open heart so the sword of God's Word can pierce through the division of soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. He's not going to pierce through if you're hardened. He's going to let you go your own way. Also for us, applications, if we're coming here and church time is just for the temporary, just for a little fix, it's a problem. We're here to glorify Christ. We're here to hear His Word. We want to be changed eternally so that He'd be greatly glorified. We're coming here and we got the worries of the world and we have riches in the forefront of our hearts. We need to repent because that's going to get in the way. We're not going to hear. But if we're true believers and we're confessing sin, we're going to produce fruit. And praise the Lord, because that fruit is not because of us. It's because of abiding in Jesus Christ. He said, abide in me and I in you. He said, apart from me, you can do nothing. He talks about those who abide in Him and His Word in them bear much fruit. So my question to you is, how's the fruit bearing in your life? We're not perfect. We fail. But some of that fruit bearing will be recognizing quicker when you're failing. So that fruit bearing will be confessing more quickly, getting restored more quickly, seeing your sin more clearly. How's the fruit bearing? God's Word should be working in us. We should be being changed more and more daily, wanting to obey the Lord, more and more wanting to love Him and one another. So how are you doing?
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org.
Friend, before we close today's broadcast, I want to talk to you directly about your eternal destiny. If you were to die right now, do you know where you would spend eternity? If you're unsure, here are some important questions to answer. Do you believe that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness, that you've sinned against a holy God? Do you believe that you are unable to do anything about your sinful condition? Do you believe that Jesus is God, that He took on human flesh, that He came and lived the sinless life and went to the cross and died for your sins? He was buried and rose from the dead 3 days later. Do you believe that His work on the cross was sufficient to forgive you of your sins? Are you willing to acknowledge that until you repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus to save you, that you deserve hell and will be sent there? If you believe these things and want to receive Jesus' offer of eternal salvation, then you need to turn to Him and ask Him. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word and Your Son Jesus.
And I pray for those listening today who do not know you, who still are in their sins, that they would turn from their sin and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation, that they would be saved. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son, and it is in his name we pray.
If you've taken that eternally important step, we'd love to come alongside you in your new relationship with Christ. So would you take a moment and contact us? We'd like to send you our new believers packet. In that packet, you'll find a message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt, some helpful Bible study tools, and a Bible. It's our gift to you to help you in your new relationship with Christ. You can request your new believers packet online at etsradio.org, or if you prefer, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And from all of us at Equipping the Saints, welcome to the family.